This morning, we receive understanding, wisdom, and enlightenment. Our hearts are refreshed at the word of grace, and we're establishing the same in Jesus' name. Right? We'll be looking at the reality of Christianity. The reality of Christianity. Philemon 6, I'll start from 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and all saints, that the communication of your faith. Now, something happened now. I did not read the word. How many of you noticed? You didn't notice because you were not reading. Always read. Always read. I said, and all saints. Yet, he said, towards all saints. Some of those words can be so important that if you don't mention them in the teaching, you will not understand the teaching. So always learn to read the Bible. Bring one to church and read from there. I'll take it again. Philemon 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of your love, thy love and faith, which thou hadst towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And we said that your faith life, your Christian life, can only be effective to the degree of the knowledge of God's word that you have. You cannot be more effective as a Christian beyond your knowledge of the things that are available for you in Christ. It's not how long you have been saved that matters. I was saying it in the first service. We were talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. And I said, there was this fellow, he had been born again for years. So when I saw him, I said, I discovered that he wasn't speaking with tongues. So I asked him, I said, when did you get saved? That was 96. He said, he got saved 86. I said, 10 years? Yeah. I said, why are you not speaking in tongues? He said, you know the normal thing, the waiting. I said, normal Bible. I said, Bible? Which Bible? You know, and you know, for 10 years, he hadn't exactly started living the Christian life. Because very basic things he didn't know. And, you know, like we said, when this kind of thing happens to us, some of us, I mean, I said this earlier, I think last week also, that you can't even say this was when you got saved. Not because you are not saved, but because you don't even know what it means to have been saved. So the minute somebody comes again and harasses you with a new sermon, you go and give your life to Christ again. Or rededicate, as some do. Which is, you know, funny. It's lack of ignorance. When you are not knowledgeable in God's word, you become an habitual hitchhiker. You know what an hitchhiker is? I'll tell you. An hitchhiker is, you know, somebody that takes, what how do you put it in Yoruba? No. Sole you pay. I think sole you pay, right? When I used to take sole years ago, I used to pay. I don't know about these guys now. I think it's, what do you call this? Lift. Okay, you stand at Magodo Gate, you know your jobs, and you wave down a car at 9 p.m. You know, and they take you. You're not paying. Somebody is helping you. You don't have a car. You don't want to pay, pull down money. So whenever you're not knowledgeable about these things, you become a spiritual hitchhiker. You need people's help. You need their prayers. You know, in this church, for instance, we don't do counseling. What was what were counseling days? I said, we don't have, our counseling days are Sundays and Wednesdays. You sit down. What am I doing now? I'm counseling you from God's word. You see, if a pastor does his job very well on Sunday and Wednesday, he will have very little to counsel over. Because the word of God is sufficient for everybody. You know? And so, when you appreciate these things, you don't become a spiritual hitchhiker. Somebody who just depends on others. You always depend on others. I don't know, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, I remember a lady, she had been coming to church then way back then. She had to bury her dad. This is a bit of a controversial issue, and I'm going to say it anyway. And there was now an issue of where to bury the man, a family crisis and all that. And I said to her, I said, you have been coming to hear God's word, right? The body of man, without the spirit of man, I said, what is it? She said, dead. I said, man is what? A spirit. Good. The day your father died, what happened? She said, he left the body. So what are you fighting over? Your father? She said, no. What? His body. I said, whether you bury his body in the sea, or you bury his body on the tree, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. Do you understand? Don't stress yourself. You know, she had allowed culture to influence her thinking against God's word. So people like that, you have not appreciated God's word. To see that it is true. When the Bible actually tells you this, it is true. When a believer dies, we know we will see the believer again. It's not, we're not saying, Esha, it's true, Sha, back on. No. That's the truth. Because that's the word of God. When an unbeliever dies, we know we will not see him again. So don't tell him, rest in the bosom of your Lord. Which Lord? He has no Lord but the devil. So, always, you know, when I see an unbeliever, I don't say such things. I just say, we'll miss you. I don't have rest in the Lord, all those rest. He's not resting in peace. If you can call him wherever he's not resting in peace. Because peace is only found in Jesus. So, you know, in core, what I'm saying basically is that you must appreciate these things as the reality of Christianity. Christianity is real. It's real. We are not like all men. We are men in Christ. Hallelujah. I said we are men in Christ. That's who we are. It's a real life. You're not like, okay, I have my life. I have church life. I have street life. I have office life. I have family life. I have just one life. It's the Christian life. And that life has its bearing on every aspect of my life. So, Christianity is real. So, last week we began to look at the reality of the word. We look at the reality of our redemption. Earlier on today, we look at the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at 2 Timothy 3. I must emphasize this again and again. I said that earlier. I'll say it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, so therefore, the Bible is a complete material. We don't need an additional tool for the Bible. The Bible is where you can teach from. If you're going to teach, teach from the Bible. If you're going to give evidence from the Bible. If you are going to correct, correct from the Bible. If you are going to instruct, instruct from the Bible. I was saying this earlier, that people will start with the Bible, they will now end up with experiences. Brother so-so and so, sister so-so and so. Let everything be from the Bible. Now, any experience that does not line up with the Bible, I discard it. Any testimony, any vision that does not line up with God's word, I discard. I remember years back, I was in a meeting. This was when I was quite a younger preacher. I think that's about 15 years ago, thereabout. And there was this fellow who was a minister. He was preaching. As I was preaching, so he was now ministering to people. So he got to a lady who was born again and said to her, this was a statement. He said, before, he mentioned a particular year and said, when you were an unbeliever, and he said, you did this and this. You know what? I stopped him. I said, keep quiet. I was right there and I said, that's not God. Why did I say that? I believe the Bible. He said, your sins and iniquity, I will remember no more. That was not the Holy Spirit. Let me show you if I follow what I'm saying here now. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's not a function because someone is a man of God. He's only a man of God to the degree where he speaks for God. And that means to the degree where he preaches from
the written word. So I had to stop the man in his tracks. Because there's no place, except the Bible is a lie. The Bible tells you that all things are passed away, all things have become new. That is the Bible. Hallelujah. In him we have redemption, even the affaces, the canceling out of our sins, Ephesians 1:7, according to the riches of his grace. So there is no way you will tell me that was God talking. That was an inspired statement from the devil. Because we have only one accuser of the brethren, Revelations 12 and 11, is called Satan. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, verse 32, shall he not freely with him give us of all things? He says, who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifies. Hallelujah. So, there is no way you can bring that and tell me it is God. Now, why was I able to know that? And that sister, in fact, when you were saying, the sister was already shaking. Because she had not, like Philemon said, understood every good thing that is in Christ Jesus for her. So, anything you tell her, she will flow. She will just agree. Because she has not come to see the reality of Christianity. That the truth of the matter is that now she has been redeemed forever. Now, the Bible says there is a remission of the sins that are past. So it doesn't exist in any record anywhere because she has been bought with the price of God's Son. So she doesn't see it. So you as a believer, if you cannot stand on the word, you will fall for anything. You have to stand firmly in God's word. Firmly in God's word. And when we say God's word, we're referring to the revelation of what God has done for you in Christ. Let me add this. Learn to take all your definitions and opinions from the scriptures. Learn to see the scriptures as not just superior opinions, but the singular opinion that will dominate your thinking. In spite of your feeling. You can have a point where you will feel somehow. I said earlier today, you can even feel like you're not saved. Okay? Sometimes you can feel like you're not saved. Even as a pastor, sometimes I feel like I am not saved. It's happened to everybody because I have feelings. But not that because I've done something wrong. Okay? But the truth of the matter is that we all have feelings. But you see, you will now impose the word of God on your feelings. At the point when you are feeling like that, you just remind yourself of God's word. I am what it says I am. I am what it says I am. I am. See, as you do that consistently, you will discover that the thoughts of God's word will influence those feelings. So always let the scriptures define things to you. Always let the scriptures define things for you. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. My God, this day you watch different Christian movies and you see all sorts of impressions, all sorts of things, you know. I said, remember a movie I watched years back? I think Unprofitable Servant or something. And the guy purportedly chased away a preacher. So later on, he had done also to that preacher who came to preach to him. So he now got to a point and he now said, he now wants to repent. And I heard, there was a voice in that film that said that it's too late. I mean, the film sold a lot to ignorant people. He said it's too late. And I wondered, is somebody on the cross? How late can it be? You're already crucified. It doesn't get late. Amen. But you see, people who believe that God will just look away at you, I'll show you. And so people won't teach that there's restitution, that some things you did before you got saved, God will just bring them back and say, look, it's not as if I've not forgiven you. I've forgiven you. Believe me, it's not, I don't have issues with you. No Yahweh, but you see, there's none of those things you did. It's difficult. You will have to pay somehow. I will give you grace so that as you are paying it, you too take your life. Okay? So you go back to everybody you have offended as a Christian. You go and tell them, as an unbeliever, and tell them that, sorry, sir, I stole a pot, a whole pot of meat, not just the meat. And, you know, you didn't know. I lied in 1983. You didn't know. It was a Friday. It was 2 p.m. In 76, I actually was supposed to give you a can of Coke. but I drank it on the road. I don't know what happened to me. I know, Daddy, you were thirsty. I'm so sorry. You know, when you do things like that, you don't actually believe that you're a Christian. Because if you believe that you're a Christian, you will know that from God's word, those things are paid for and eternally paid for. It's God's word. It's not me. I'm not trying to make things easy for you. Okay? And give you sweet words. No. I'm quoting God's word to you. What I've just done is to deny the truth of God's word. If you do that kind of thing. Hallelujah. Now, today we're going to look at the reality of righteousness. The reality of our righteousness. You know, there's a song we sang years back. I sang it to anyway because I used to be a choir director. That was years back. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. They say, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? And now, that you sing that song as outrage, it's okay. But I remember those days, as we are singing in maybe the concert, you know, in concert, people can get fleshy. They don't know the difference between church and where you are at TBS. So, don't you want to, not also, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? You know, we're too carried away to believe that God exists. Okay? The honest truth is this. Righteousness is not something that you get because of something that you do. We're going to see that. Righteousness is not something that you get based on something that you do or you have done. Romans 10, for the benefit of repetition. Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. Please open your Bible. Because I'm not a living Bible, so read your Bible. Verse 8. Are you there? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. Let's take 9 together. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes on the righteousness, with the mouth. So how do you get saved? Believing in your heart and is simple. It's not by somebody's prayer after you have done it. Father, I thank you for these ones. I pray that you should accept them in Jesus' name. Who is he? God's word is final. You believe in your heart, you say it with your mouth, you are saved. If you find out there was a day in your life where you did this, any church, anywhere, any meeting, any room, that was the day you got saved. That was the day, because this is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your Bible and say, I believe. I believe. This is the written word of God. I believe it's inspired by God. This is proof, evidence for me to believe in Jesus' name. So that is what you should believe. Don't believe. Don't say, hey, it's not like that. You can confess anything. You can believe anything. That is no. Okay? The Bible is clear. You believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, you are what? Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Now, let's examine a few things before we go into righteousness. A couple of things to lay a foundation. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, Ephesians is after Galatians before Philippians. In case you are a stranger to your Bible. And the page of your Bible are glued together. Ephesians 2. Are you there? I'll take 8. You'll take 9. I will take 10 together. Okay? Shall we go? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. 9. 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So, by what are you saved? Through faith. It is the gift of God. That is, there is nothing you can boast about your salvation. Nothing. Some will say, that day, I cried. I looked at my... You know when some people give their testimonies of their salvation, you think that you were not really saved. They will tell you that, I was a bad boy. I was bad with women, even with men and children. Bros. If you check my pocket, guns, pisu, everything, there. But thank God. You think that they are more saved than you. So say, praise God. I had 10 abortions, 11 miscarriages, 14, what else? Still bad. 66 boyfriends. Oh God. If not for the mercy of God. You now look at yourself. That maybe you need just a spoon of the blood. This person needs a tanker. So you say, That's why some people now boast and say, clean life. I've never had any issues, and all that. You go to hell. That on its own is a sin. That you are boasting. God says you are a sinner. You say you are not. So who is a liar? God. God says you are a sinner. You say you are not. You will find out in the wrong place. You know? So, you now feel like, maybe you are not. And you now feel like, maybe you are not. You know, say, I cried that day. I knelt there. I said, the cross, the cross. I said, I did not cry. See that day? In fact, he now mentions the man of God who prayed the sinner's prayer. He says, Reverend Evangelist, Doctor, Pastor, His Holiness. And he said, man was just one brother, something. Ivan, I don't even remember his name. The day I saw the person who witnessed to me to get saved, he was in front of you. I pointed to him, I said, that's the person that led me to Christ. He said, yeah? Let me tell you the story. My spiritual father. You know? So, you see, this Reverend after that day, in fact, I cried and cried and cried and cried. I didn't cry. There was no music. It was just, do you believe? Yeah, I do. And he just said something. I said, I'm born again. He said, you know, I feel, am I sure? Look, forget the person's testimony. The scripture is your evidence. It says, by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to boast of. Whether you did it or you didn't do it, is not what you need to do. Like I said earlier, Christianity is not what you do, it's what Christ has done that you have received. Everything that God did for us in Christ is free. There is no demand on you but to believe it. Ephesians 1. Are you there? Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let's take 5 together. And predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So look at that. The forgiveness of sins come according to the riches of His grace. That's what 2 Corinthians 8 was saying. 8:9 that says that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich. Wasn't talking about physical wealth. Was talking about the riches of His grace. So, there is nothing you have to boast about something that was freely given to you. You were not, God did not look at us individually before he saved us. He saw us together as the same and took Jesus as the only gift for us all. And based on what Jesus has done, we are saved. Let me say something again. Even forgiveness, you know, human beings, let me look at our parents, for instance. And I'm trying to actually train myself for my children not to do certain things, you know. When I was growing up, my father would say, well, if you do something wrong, and he tell you, well, is when you come back and then you repent, that I'm sorry and all that, then he says, well, he has forgiven you. Or he will say that, when I see that you have changed, you know, that kind of thing, then you will be forgiven. I mean, that's the way human beings. And somehow, we have carried those kind of thinking, that kind of thinking to God. So we believe that God will only forgive you based on some actions that he sees. That's what we are saying. Now, hold on. If you can change, okay, without the help of God, there's nothing to thank him for. The reason why we can thank God is because it is free. You don't thank your employer for giving you your salary. See, after 30 days, that says, your salary. Not that they give you bonus, so your normal salary. And you say, ah, chairman, thank you so much. You are such a blessing. Such a great blessing. You wonder, what is this guy up to? Because it's your salary. You have worked for it. But after the end of the month, the man just puts his hand in the pocket and says, Mr. So-and-so, take 100,000. You just be saying, because you know that this one, you did not deserve it. That is the same way salvation is. You didn't deserve it. Redemption, you didn't deserve it. Forgiveness of sins, you did not deserve it. It was given to you on the basis of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24. So what is repentance necessary? Yes, repentance is necessary. What is the repentance? I'll show you now. Luke 24, 46. Thus it is written, and that is, behold, Christ will suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, watch that. What are you to repent? Repent means to turn your mind. Okay? That's what it means, metanoia. It means to turn the direction of your mind. Now, what is that repentance? That repentance means to look away from yourself and look at Jesus. Because the next word says the remission of sins. Remission means to cancel out. Go to 22 so that you understand what I'm saying. That remission is not based on your works. Luke 22. Verse 20. This cup, Jesus said, is a new testament in my blood which is shed for you. The new testament in my blood which is shed for you. So, the reason why today we have remission of sins is based on the blood of Jesus. The fact that Jesus' blood was shed on our behalf. Ephesians 1:7. Before you go to Ephesians, look at Acts 10. Acts 10, 43. Okay, 38. Acts 10. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of him, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he that is ordained of God to be the judge of those who are alive and those who are dead. That's the quick and dead. Let's take 43 together. I want to go to give him witness that through his name, whosoever shall believe in him shall receive what? Shall receive remission of sins. That's what forgiveness. So, he said, whenever you believe in Jesus, you receive remission of sin. It is by grace. Ephesians 1:7. We read that earlier. It says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice those words. The riches of his grace. So, forgiveness does not come because of you. Forgiveness comes because of the grace of God demonstrated in what Christ has done for us. Now look at Romans 8. Don't forget, we are talking about the reality of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is to be without blame. To be without fault. Now, that means righteousness to God is to be able to stand before God without fault. That is, God will find no fault in you. There will be no blame. There will be no guilt. And this is the reason why some of us, when we want to start praying, you know, I remember when I was younger, we used to have family altar, and they would ring the bell, blah, 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 everybody would come together, and the very first few minutes, Father, we are sinners, we are eating it like food, we are drinking it like water. And you know how to say those things, and all that, help us, we are not perfect, we are not this, I used to say it often. You know why people do that? Because they believe that to come before, it is right, so it's good to think like that at the time. That before you come to God, at least you must be without blame. You must be without guilt. So people think that when they want to pray also, they must at least cleanse their record so that you can have a clean slate. Now, you don't have to do that. Romans 8. So I said righteousness is to stand right with God, to be without fault or blame with God. Now, salvation is by what? Through faith, right? Who agrees? Let me see your hand if you agree with that. Do you believe that? It's by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man boast. If you agree, let me see your hand. Great. It's forgiveness by grace. Huh? Beautiful. It's remission by grace. Beautiful. Now look at Romans 8. I'll take 31. And we will all take 32 together. Ready? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? 32. He that spared not his own son. Stop. Stop there. He that spared, now, who is he that spared not his own son? God. Deliver him of us all means he gave him to die for us all. So, Jesus died for who? Now, let's finish it now. How shall he not with him also, now notice this. Look up. He said also. Also means that he's not talking about salvation. He says, Jesus died for you. God did it. He didn't spare his son. He gave him to die for us all. Shall he not with Jesus freely give us all things? He says, how shall he not with him also do what? Huh? Now note this, we're writing, write this down. Anything that is not free is not from Jesus. Anything that is not free is not from Jesus. Now, there are some things like that you can read from this Bible and it will appear like it's not free. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. Uh-huh. Now, the reason is because we don't have time today to do like, look at that. There were different dispensations in the Bible. Now, in John 1, put your hands there, we're not through there. Put your hands in Romans 8. Go to John 1, 16. John 1. Are you there? Let's take it together. Of his fullness, you are not there. You are not there. Let's take it again. John 1, 16. Right? Not John 16, 1. Let's go. And of his fullness have we grace for grace. 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Now, that means that there was a dispensation of the law. Okay? But now, through Jesus, what do we have? Grace and truth. So go back to Romans 8. Romans 8, 32. Shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Look at 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, so he's saying that rather than God condemning you, what did he do for you? He justified you. Rather than you having that, he says, Jesus makes intercession for you. He guarantees you. Now, that clears the place for this. There is nothing you will do for God to forgive you. There is nothing you will do for God to cleanse your sins. There is nothing you will do for God, let me add this, to redeem you. I said that last week. Nothing. Anywhere you are told to do something, it is not through Jesus. Everything through Jesus is free. When I say free, I'll say it again, free. Not that it is free, like free, you know, free, free, but it was paid for by Jesus so that you will not pay for it. It was paid for by Jesus so that you will not pay for it. Let me now address an issue. I know that some of you have said, heard before. He said, work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Go to Philippians 2. Like I said in the first service, I assume that at least the average person in church must have passed the basic primary school common entrance. That if somebody did not sit for you. You move from there to brighter grammar. Philippians 2. I believe again you went to the GSS as you have today, and you passed through, and you passed, at least they didn't sit for you, and jump the SS. So there's a basic understanding of English. Okay. Or when there's something in the past tense, please, agree it's past tense. When it's future tense, it's future tense. Good. Philippians 2, 13. Let's start from 12. This is Paul. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not in my presence only, also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did he say work for your salvation? Huh? So, he says work out your salvation. Does that presuppose already that you are already saved? Let me try to understand that. Okay? So, if you have to work out your salvation, what do you think it will mean on the face of it? It will mean, let there be a manifestation of your salvation. Right? It is a work for, say, work out. That means there is a salvation, work it out. Let there be a fruit, as it were, of that salvation. Now, again, a lot of folks will not read the next verse. It's always safe as a Christian to read the preceding verse, to read the verse very well, and read the verse after. Okay? So let us take the B part. Then we'll read 13 together. Ready? Work out, everybody together, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 13, for it is God. Does 13 explain it? So who works in you? So that working of salvation is the work of who? Can you see it? All you need to do is to believe this. In working out my salvation, it is God who is at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How do you do that? Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light. So what's he telling you to do? Shine as light. 15. How? Holding forth the word of life. He's asking you to hold on to what? God's word. So, there is nothing to work for. Everything has been done by Jesus. We said righteousness is the condition of being blameless before God. Being guiltless before God. Now, we have already said that your sins are forgiven by his grace. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Let us now look at righteousness. Romans 3. All right, let's see. Verse 10. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Are you there? This was quoted from Psalm 14. Okay? It was quoted from Psalm 14, verse 1 to 3. And there was a reason for it. Now look at verse 19. Now we know that the things whatsoever the law said, it said to them that are under the law, okay, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So all the world, by this is the Old Testament, it is a proof that there is nobody that is different. All the world is guilty before God. Now look at 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now let us read 21 together. Wait. So that means righteousness of the law of God without the law, that is, without the Old Testament. Look at 22 together. Even by faith unto all. So this righteousness is by the faith of who? Huh? To how many that do what? That believe. So how does it come to you? Huh? By faith. Look at 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24 together, everybody. Take it again. Being justified freely by his grace through. So how are you justified? Freely. Justified means to be made righteous. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 25 together, everybody. Whom God, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. 26. To declare, I say, at this time, the righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. So righteousness comes to us by grace. We receive it by what? Faith. It comes to us by grace, and we receive it by grace. Now look at chapter 4. It now discusses somebody everybody knows. When you read Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible tells you that Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. All the Jews know that Abraham was known as a righteous man. The average Christian was like, ah, Abraham was a righteous man. Oh, ah, Abraham was a righteous man. But they don't know on what basis he was a righteous man. They think it was based on his conduct. Look, if you look at the conduct of Abraham, it did not merit being righteous. So on what basis was Abraham called righteous? Romans 4:1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what seeth it? The scriptures. That's Genesis 15:16. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Verse 4. And to him that worketh his reward, not reckoned of grace, but of death. That is, if it was a function of your conduct, then it is not grace. It is something that you deserve. Look at 5. But to him, let's take 5 together. But to him that walketh not, but believes on him that justifies what? His faith is counted. So how was Abraham counted for righteousness? Because he believed God. That's all. Not based on his merits. Look at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessing of the man whom God imputes righteousness without what? Without what? Without works. Verse 7. Saying, let's say it together, blessed are the whose sins are forgiven, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is what happened to Abraham. He was not called righteous based on his performance. He was called righteous based on his faith. Romans 4, 25. So what is the basis of our righteousness today in Christ? Romans 4, 25. Let's take it together. Want to go? Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again? Not everybody is reading this. I don't know why. Is it that you are tired of your Bible or something? Together. Want to go? Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again? So on what basis are we justified? On the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, how many of you agree that's what he's saying here? Can you see it? Let me see how you do. Come on. Let me see your hand if you do. You believe that Romans 4:25 is saying that you are justified based on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Let me see how you believe that. Beautiful. Now, so look at chapter 5 verse 1. Now, don't forget the Bible is not in verses and chapters. So the next verse says what? Therefore what? Therefore means based on this. Based on what? Based on the fact that righteousness comes by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, go on, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So how are we justified? By faith. Are you justified? Are you justified? Good. Say, I'm justified. Say it boldly. Say, I'm justified. Say, I am declared righteous. Because of the blood of Jesus. Say, I am a righteous man. Do you actually believe that? It's the reality of Christianity. Say, I am a righteous man. Now, someone can say, what is the evidence? Say the scriptures. I believe that Jesus died for me. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Romans 10:10. With the mouth, confession is made of self. I believe that the righteousness of God can only be given to you by Jesus. Then you are righteous. Romans 5. Look at 17. Are you there? I'll take 17. You will take 18. They will take 19 together. Ready? For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of what? Shall reign in life by, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. That means righteousness is what? A gift. In fact, some versions say the free gift of righteousness. I don't have free gift of righteousness in your own version. The free gift. Now, 18, you guys. Even so, the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men. 19 together. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many. Hallelujah. So how are you made righteous? By the obedience of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Before I go to 21, let me read 19. It says, to wit. Now, I'll start from 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? They say he will become a new creation. He is. So say, I'm a new creation. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at 19. To wit, together everybody, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their treasures again unto them, and has committed unto us So can you see that? God is not counting men's sins against them. So nobody goes to hell because of his sins. You only go to hell because you have not believed the gospel of Jesus. This is very clear. God does not count. Why would he count men's sins against them? Since he has already punished Jesus for it. So the reason why a man will go to hell today is because he has not received that thing, that fact, that truth that Jesus has paid for him. Nobody has any merit to boast with. It's based on the merit of Jesus that we are who we are today. So righteousness, there is nobody in the world that God is especially angry against. You see all this Osama bin Laden, all this he has done. If on his deathbed, having wrought all manner of evil, he says, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I accept you today as my Savior. That's all. If you like, get angry. That is all. Look at that criminal, the guy that was crucified with Jesus. He said, Lord, that's what he said, remember me. And Jesus said that today you'll be with me. You know, there was no baptism, there was no confirmation, no sinner's prayer, there was no foundation school, school of the word, believer's class, there was nothing. That's all. No matter what, because there is nothing that has not been paid for. The only thing that has not been paid for is not to believe in what paid for you. Praise God. Do you understand? Because that is your own choice. So look at 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now let us take 21 together, everybody. 1, 2, go. For he had made him sin for us. Who knew no sin? So who was made? Now, we were sinners, right? Okay? So God made Jesus what? Sin. So that we that were sinners might be made what? So who are we today? In him. Alright? Don't forget that. Who are we today? Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. Say it loud. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One more time. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you four things about righteousness. Number one, you are declared righteous by faith. Romans 5, when we read that earlier. You are declared righteous by faith. God declared you righteous by the faith you have in the work that Jesus did. That's one. Simple facts about righteousness. Number two. Righteousness came to you as a gift. Not just a gift. Number two. Righteousness came to you as a free gift. A free gift. Something you did not work for. Just one suit, not three guys. Something you did not work for. Romans 5:17. We read that earlier. So as you're writing, I just put it beside it. Romans 5:17. Righteousness came to me as a gift. Romans 5:17. Three, Jesus is your righteousness. That is, if you look down and down and say, looking at my life, I can't even picture myself standing before God. Just remember that Jesus is your righteousness before God. That is, God has chosen to look at Jesus in looking at you. So Jesus is your righteousness. Don't forget we quoted that Romans 3:24 down to 26. Put that down. Lastly, because you are a new creation, you have been made, not just declared. Now, in Abraham's case, he was declared because of faith. We have that. Now, we have also now been made. the righteousness of God, however, in Christ. So if you agree that you are in Christ, and you agree that you are a new creation in Christ, then you must also agree that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness comes to you as a nature. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24 says, you have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let's go over that again. You have been declared righteous by faith. Righteousness comes to you as a gift. Now, Jesus, if you look at Jesus, look up guys, and you see your righteousness. God now looks at you. What does he see? His righteousness. So, on every level, you have been made righteous. You don't work for it, and it does not increase, it does not grow, it does not reduce. Is a state. How many of you have become more human after you were born? As I kept growing, I just became more human. I was half beast. If you were righteous the day you got saved, you are still righteous now. Whatever you are, the day you got saved is what you still are today. Say, I am. The righteousness of God in Christ. What now changes is our righteousness consciousness. Many believers don't even know they are righteous. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed, you know, in a lie, that you are unable to save me. And now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. You know, I taught a whole choir that song. God has forgiven me. And in my heart and in my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified. You see? And I have leaned on the wisdom of men. What do you think you are doing to yourself? You are just lying. Because anything outside the truth of God's word is a lie. You have not made him small in your eyes. Amen. If you have believed in Jesus, you have not done that. Praise God. Don't disgrace yourself. Humility is not humiliation. That's not God's word. To be humble means to accept the word of God as true. When a Christian is singing, Oluwajo, baby, is confused. It is confused. Oluwajo, jo, oh. And you know these songs, they have nice rhythm. You are carried away. You are just singing it. You just be dropped on the one skyscraper. Which okay are you looking for? When the Bible says you are seated in Christ, far above all principalities and power. That means you don't believe it. You need a chair that is so high that you know you are high. Hallelujah. Say God. He said, give me a new heart. It's because you don't believe the scriptures. There's a need for a righteousness consciousness. A righteousness consciousness. That is, I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Very simple. That should be your consciousness. So your songs should change. I went back to the same music team that I taught that song and I told them, sorry, I was wrong. I was wrong. I said, if you like the song, you better like God. What's that song called? Anybody can sing a song. Particularly when you see there are some artists like that, they sing their emotions. They sing their own emotions. What they like, you know, they're in a bad mood or a terrible mood. They say, Lord, you seem so far. What have I done for Don Wayne this morning? And it's one of my favorites. Lord, you seem so far away.
a million miles. And it seems to say, you know it now. How far can it be? Someone dwells in you and says it's far. You are the one that is far. Somebody dwells in you and you are saying it's far away. Where do you want him to live again? Do you know that the person sitting near you is not nearer to you than God is? He's not as near. Hallelujah. You know, you tell some people that they have demons. They say, I discovered that there's a demon. You say, hey, hey, oh. But if God is in you, you say, eh. Eh, is it true? Who told you? Hallelujah. Say, God is in me. So said, oh, you seem so far away. He said, I will never leave you. He's the one that said it. Nor forsake you. You know, when one meeting years ago, when we were seeing some rascals, rascally preachers, someone read the prophecy and said, I, the Lord, I'm here. I said, you have nothing to say. Go, leave this place. You have nothing to say. He said, I, the Lord, I'm here. Is that the prophecy? If he was not here, what are we doing here? Does it look like Rotary Club to you? This is church. That's where God is. Amen. Praise God. When you say something, I want to enter his presence. As I come into... Where did you come? The day you got born again, you entered his presence forever. Hallelujah. As I come into... Where did you go before? Where did you go? I will enter his gate. Don't sing that song. I've told you what it means. So don't. Praise. You know what? Go and read your Bible. When you enter his gate, you go and discover what it means. It's only Jesus that can do it. All. Praise God. I won't say more than that. If you go and do your own, it's just in vain. You always learn to sing God's word to him. It may look boring singing God's word. You know, you're just singing, I'm a new creator. It looks like boring. You just say, tum, tum, ta. Igwe my papa. Igwe my God. You never seen this guy before. What are you saying? Sing the word. I never seen this guy before. Araile. What are you saying? These things don't go to God. The one that goes to God has to be his word. Hallelujah. There's something, I mean, if you want to entertain yourself, you can sing. But when you want to sing to God, better sing the word. Amen. Amen. Now we are skipping. What is all this? So it's the Bible. Amen. Sing songs that glorify his name. That glorify his name. Not glorify your emotions. You are feeling bad. And he said, there's this song is in my car. Something, I want to die. And you are singing with the person. One day, how I made for mystery, two extras. That's your case. Why should I sing your problem with you? Hallelujah. I'm in Christ justified. Hallelujah. He's in me glorified. He's in me glorified. I'm in him justified. He's in me glorified. That should be yours. Don't see someone's testimony. You don't know what the person knows. So there must be a righteousness consciousness. That is, when you stand before God as it were, you are without blame. You are without guilt. Not because of you, but because you are in who? You are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15. Righteousness consciousness is the cure to sin. It's the cure to sin. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Are you there? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So, righteousness consciousness is by knowledge. Some have. You know, Paul wrote this years ago. You know, true of the matter is, if you write this today, is most have not the knowledge of God. I left the church where the senior pastor asked the workers to write their sins. Maybe I mentioned it last week, I'm not sure. They write their sins and take it to him. He will now take it to God. A confused pastor, a further confused congregation, and the devil will just be humorous. What's wrong with these guys? You know,
Angels will wonder what's going on. Yeah. Has God rewound history? Are we back in 2,000 years before now? Because, but the angels are, but that's not Jesus. Is it not Jesus? The guy taking their sins to God. Is it not Jesus? She's not Jesus. What's his name? His pastor. So, so. Hey. What's wrong with him? Guys, leave him. That's not his, that's not, he's not even the problem. Look at the multitude. What's wrong with them? Even the angels know better. Hallelujah. There's one mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you in him today? Awake unto righteousness. When you are singing, say, Father, I thank you. When a thought of sin comes, say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you because I stand today, hallelujah, by faith, knowing that you have made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, I thank you because you have given to me the gift of righteousness. Thank you because I'm declared righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Righteous consciousness will dominate your prayer life, to dominate the kind of singing, kind of song you sing. Hallelujah. Dominates the kind of songs that you sing. This song that people sing often, and we change it in this ministry. We change songs because of God's word. And they say, down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. As though God is seated upside down. How can somebody's feet be the most high place? In your prayer, you keep on this laugh. In your presence, Lord, you seek his face. How can you see someone's face in his presence? There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. How confused are you? Looking at the word of God, we say, now in your will, in your love, is the most high place. With your presence, we sing your praise. There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to know I'm saved. I'm called your son. Hallelujah. That is the Bible. Don't think that God, see, the Bible says all your righteousness is like filthy rags. So the best of man is a filthy action before God. All that is accepted by God is Christ Jesus. And today you are in him. Because you are in him, you are a new creation. Because you are in him, you are the righteousness of God in him. There's a song I want us to sing. It says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no power over me. Death has no power over me. God has already accepted me. I'm his very own. Righteousness is a state that you are in Christ Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.